Welcome back, episode 130 of the Ranting Rangers podcast in partnership with Inside the Rink. I'm your host, Jacob Berkowitz, and I'm alongside my co-host, Brett. And in this week's episode, we're honored to have our returning guest, Bill Pito from MSG Networks. Before we get to it here, if you did hear the playoff podcast schedule from last week's introduction, scrap that. It was a bit overcomplicated, and we're going to simplify things here. What's basically going to happen is that we're going to let you know the following episode, the episode prior. So basically what's going to happen is that the next episode after this will be after game one Monday morning. And then that episode will let you know when the following episode will be. I figure that's a bit less complicated than letting you know a few podcasts in advance. And then we don't even know how many games this series will go to. Anyway, let's get to it. And we are back with Bill Pito of MSG Networks. Bill, how's it going?
Good, guys. Exciting time of year. That is for sure. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, it's always great to have you on. Happy we're able to do this again. I figured I'd start off right off the bat here. Obviously, the Rangers are going to take every precaution necessary to make sure he's ready and okay to actually play in games. But were you shocked to see that Phil Pito returning to the ice? And not only that, but also in a contact jersey?
I think, because there had been no hints about it. I may be seeing how he's going to be deployed here and how conservative they're going to be with him. This is not a leg. Obviously, it's a concussion or a reported concussion, upper body. So you got to be real careful. But I think it'd be very interesting if he ends up slotting on that first line as a winger with Kreider and Zibanejad, which seems like it might be a possibility. So it could be very interesting to see if he plays. And hopefully if he plays, he's going to be able to make a contribution.
You think he would be able to make a contribution just given how he was playing before the injury as well? Really seemed like he was starting to get his legs underneath him and start to produce. Of course, that was in the 3C role. And as you just said, it's kind of a decision whether or not he would come back as the 3C or as the first line right winger. Do you have a preference on that? Do you like to see him on the first line? Or do you rather see him slot back into the 3C where he was before?
Well, I don't know. Then if he goes 3C, then, you know, is it going to be Roslovic on the top line? And what do you do with Wennberg? I just think you have a lot of options for that fourth line if you keep Wennberg in that three hole, the 3C. You still have a lot of options for the fourth line. It's not like you need Wennberg for the fourth line. And Roslovic at times has been good. But the other side of the coin is Hedl hasn't played, and he hasn't played as a wing on that top line. So there are a lot of questions, and maybe the coach wants to play a conservative ultimately and doesn't want to juggle the lineup. That would be a pretty drastic lineup change.
Yeah,
first game of the playoffs, that is for sure. So I don't know if Hedl's going to play, but if he does, I hope he's able to make a contribution.
What has it done for this team's morale to have Hedl back at practices? Does it seem like, I mean, it's just the vibe seemed like at an all-time high already. I mean, how much more did it like bring this group together?
They seem like a very tightly knit group. I think having Hedl back can't hurt that. I don't know about the inner psyche of these guys after the initial excitement of having him back. I don't know if it continues to be an excitement around everybody. Obviously, the most important thing is that if Hedl returns to game action, he gets through it healthy. He's obviously had a lot of setbacks, and hopefully there's not another one.
Yeah, absolutely. What are your thoughts on Rempe, and would you like to see him be in the lineup regularly for this cup run?
Well, I think with Tom Wilson on the Caps, I think there's a chance that we will see more of Rempe than we otherwise would have. Peter Laviolette, the coach, has been on record saying that he's playing well enough to be a contributor in the playoffs. We all know about the history of Tom Wilson with the Rangers, and I think having Rempe in the lineup could be a little bit of a deterrent. So I don't know if you wait on Rempe if you're Laviolette and see how things evolve with Wilson and how the series is going, or if you just put Rempe out there in game one to try to set a tone. But I think with Wilson on the Caps, Rempe could have a bigger role than he otherwise might.
Who do you think is the most under-the-radar player for the Rangers going into the playoffs?
I said this the other day. I was talking at work. Capo Caco, maybe. Third line. we'll see. That third line, Cooley, Wennberg, Caco, really hasn't gotten a lot of publicity because the second line has been so fantastic and the top line has got Zibanejad and Kreider on it. So we'll see about that third line. They're going to need contributions from that group. for sure. And Cooley, of course, is a rookie. And they got Wenberg at the trade deadline to make a contribution. So I think that third line could be important.
Absolutely. And you would definitely like to see him chip in, although even if they don't, their defensive shutdown role obviously is going to be really big in the playoffs as well.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, Kako's one of the things that I didn't realize, and obviously we work with Steve Aliquette, so he's got a lot of the analytics. Even though Kako doesn't always register points, his analytics on defense are really good. Yeah. I don't think that a lot of fans necessarily pay that close attention to that, but he has had a lot of value on the defensive side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we were talking to an analytics guy a little while ago about Kako, and he was saying one of his big contributions that a lot of people don't notice is that his zone exits are so good, and they often set up rushes or controlled zone time in defensive zone, because he's not just chipping the puck out and getting out of the zone, but taking an extra half second looking for a streaking winger to be able to get out of the zone. And just that contribution, you know, over the course of a game just adds up massively. And that's one of the big reasons why they're so much better with him on the ice than they are, even if he's not showing up on the score sheet.
There's so many things to this game that we don't notice that you need some type of analytics to really dig into. But that's something that Valley's always said. And when Kako went out, they missed him. That's for sure. And missed that period of time with the injury. No question they missed him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, speaking of Valley, I am curious, when you're in the studio with him, how nervous / excitable is Valley when watching these playoff games? You know, from an audience perspective, he looks like he's dancing on a live wire, just like we are at home.
Well, when it comes to playoff time, we're all, this gets ramped up. The season is long. I did some work. I do some work at NHL Network, and I worked with Mike Rupp the other day. I thought he made a really good point. You look at the President's Trophy winning teams, and the history is not great winning the Cup.
Yeah.
Black last to do it, in fact, all the way back in 12-13. But one of the reasons that Rupp put forth that I thought was interesting is a lot of times a President's Trophy winning team has nothing to play for, and they coast to the finish line, like the Bruins last year, for example. Rangers have had to play all the way through. You know, they had to play until the last game, in fact, against Ottawa to lock up the President's Trophy. So that could be an interesting thing for them, in that they had to play through the finish line, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of been engaged as a result all year long because of what was at stake. And come playoff time, I think you guys have seen those videos on the MSG Network social media platforms of Valley and Giannone. When the Rangers score a big goal or win a game. So, yeah, we get ramped up. I will say I think they're going to have no problem against the Caps. So maybe the pins and needles will start in round two.
Okay.
How willing do you think Laviolette is to change up the lines during the playoffs in regards to adjustments and all that?
You know, I kind of think it's refreshing that he doesn't juggle the lines all the time. I always wonder why these coaches do that and do it so quickly. Laviolette's one of his characteristics so far is he keeps things the way they are. So I don't know why he would deviate. I don't expect him to deviate unless things go really south.
Yeah, I really like that with Lafreniere this year, because I don't think he dropped ever in the season, and he has gone, especially the second half of the season, he went to a whole nother level. And it really seems like it's rewarded from that consistent play on that on that second line, just consistently, and just build up his confidence, which it's just, he's been looking fantastic.
Totally. I always wonder, these coaches make the in-game line change and then they can revert back to the old lineup for the next game. I never have understood that, to be honest with you. I guess they feel like they have to maybe change things up. Feel like they have to do something. But I've really never understood. Some of these coaches, as we know, they change things so quickly, game after game after game. And to your point there, Jacob, I mean, Lafreniere has got a stable role, and that had to help him play as well as he did.
Yeah, it makes a big difference, too. And it's, in fact, Larry David was quoted on a show back when Quinn was the coach, talking about Kako getting benched for taking a penalty and moving him around the lineup. And I wasn't expecting my comedy hero to have such an astute observation as being like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to be, moving these guys all around the lineup, not having consistent line mates. It doesn't lead to great results. And Yeah, we've seen Lafreniere just come alive this season. And that's got to be due to the time that he's been getting and the confidence that he builds there. But I am curious, you know, with his kind of breakout year here, what do you see as being the biggest change in his game that's allowing him to be so much more productive now?
The change of why the second line has been so productive?
I meant Lafreniere specifically.
Well, geez, he's playing with guys that are having phenomenal seasons. My goodness, Panarin has been fantastic. Trocheck, look, sometimes when there are injuries, people benefit. And, you know, Trocheck probably getting more playing time without Hedl being in the mix. There was no threat that if Trocheck went into a skid that they're going to flip centers, which could have been the case. If you have Hedl there, maybe Laviolette's more prone to change things up line-wise. Mm-hmm. I think the steady consistency of this threesome and the phenomenal years from Trocheck and Panarin have kind of helped Lafreniere along. What is that? The rising tide lifts all boats.
Mm-hmm.
Had a fantastic year. Trocheck's been fantastic as well.
Yeah.
And Lafreniere's benefited from all that. And I think the trio has benefited from the fact that they have been able to stay together as a line.
Speaking of Panarin, he seems ready to show that he can be an elite player in the playoffs. What impresses you most about the way he's taken his game to the next level? And what aspects of his game this year do you think will help him produce at an elite level in the playoffs?
You know, I was looking at this last year. Granted, he was not great in the playoffs, but 2 years ago in 20 games, he had 16 points. Where's this narrative started that he doesn't look? Maybe he was off a little bit last year, but that was one series. If you read between the lines, I don't think he and the coach got along great last year. You guys follow this closely. Where's the narrative that he doesn't come through in the playoffs? Is that just because of last year? Because 2 years ago, as I mentioned, he had 16 points in 20 games, 20 playoff games.
I think it's because there was
they all fell apart, you know.
I never blamed last year on him. If the whole team is falling apart, you can't pit it on one player.
Where's the narrative coming from?
I think also it's probably because visually, the way he was playing, especially last year in the playoffs, was just a predictable sort of thing that especially Jersey was able to shut down because they knew what he was going to do. That he was going to come in. He's going to come in along the boards. He's going to button hook and then wait and look for somebody to pass to. And now this year, he's not doing that. He's actually taking the puck. He's shooting it. He's going to the center of the ice. He's become a not predictable player. You know, a guy that talented, it's hard to shut him down entirely. So you're right. It's not like he disappeared in the playoffs. It's not like we lost because Panarin wasn't good last year. The whole team, as you said, fell apart. But I think when he's like the star of star players, a lot of attention ends up getting focused on that. So when the fans see him not doing what they want him to do and being shut down, they automatically say, oh, he's not a playoff guy. I don't agree with it, but I think that's how the narrative develops is visually watching that happen. But I don't see it happening this year.
Well, if you read between the lines, I think he and a coach last year had some problems. I think that contributed to what was going on. He's totally engaged this year. And he's on that second line. I expect him to have a really good playoffs.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Yeah, with to Brett's point there, in the playoffs, obviously, everything tightens up more, and you can't necessarily play this perimeter game, which Panarin seemed to lean towards last year, maybe a little even the year before. But it seems like this year he's just threw that away and just kept on producing now in the middle. I mean, like his last goal, his deflection was in front of the net. I mean, it just shows how much he's changed his game. And in a playoff style, you have to be able to produce in the middle of the ice. Because if you're going to try to pass it cross crease or from one side to the other, it's not going to get past them. And especially if they know you're not going to shoot it. But now, since they think he might either shoot it, pass it, or cut to the net himself, it makes him more unpredictable and harder to defend.
Yeah, well, I hope he sticks to it because obviously they need him. You know, and the other issue here, fellas, as you know better than anybody, is they got to get the 5-on-5 together because, look, the power play's been elite, but you got to try to do a little bit better at 5-on-5.
Absolutely. That's a big reason why I'm very hopeful that he's healthy and able to do it because I think Hedl coming in on that top line could be exactly what's needed. And you know, Rossovic coming in has been a nice addition to that line. It's definitely made it more of a threat, 5v5, but still hasn't produced, you know, as we'd wanted to. I feel like Hedo, with his speed and his playmaking ability, his vision could really be the key that unlocks that first line 5-on-5, which is just going to be very necessary, as you said, because you just can't rely on a power play game in, game out for 16 wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, and the other thing is when you look at the Caps, their goal differential is minus 37. So they either get blown out or they win a close game. I mean, think about making the playoffs with a goal differential of minus 37. And Lindgren's got no playoff experience at all. Ryan's brother, Charlie, has been fantastic. Played more this year than in all the other years combined almost. So yeah, he's completely, completely untested and unproven in the playoffs. So if you get up on them, I think there could be a lot of blowouts in these games.
Yeah, that makes sense. Other than 5-on-5 scoring, what do you think the biggest question mark is for the Rangers for this playoff run?
Well, the lineup there, the top scenario there with Hedl, and let's hope that Shesterkin can keep rolling, because one of the things about Shesterkin, not necessarily down the stretch, but when he and Valiquette makes his point, the thing that made Henrik Lundqvist great is that when the Rangers were down 1-0, he never allowed them to get down 2-0. That was his greatness. He always was able to keep the games close. And maybe this is not applicable in round one, but if the Rangers get down, it is imperative that Shesterkin stays with it and does not allow a one-goal deficit to become a two-goal deficit or a two-goal deficit become a three-goal deficit, because sometimes when he doesn't start out very good, well, in a game, when the Rangers get down and he gets off to a rocky start, it compounds itself. And obviously, come playoff time here, the Rangers can ill afford that to happen.
What has impressed you most about this Rangers team this year?
Well, their ability to come back. They are so resilient. Time after time after time, they've been able to come back and overcome deficits. That's been the most impressive thing to me. They've also been able to pretty much avoid any consistent losing streak. I mean, guys, we're talking about the best regular season in Rangers history. Think about that. 55 wins. They've never won that many games. So they've avoided the long losing streak, and they've done a great job when they've been behind and been able to come back.
Yeah, absolutely. This team has such a difference too from previous years as well, where we were good but didn't seem to have that refusal to go down instinct that we do now. Speaking of the playoffs here, I do we're wrapping up to the end of our questions here on this side of things. I'm curious, is there anyone that you're afraid of the Rangers facing in the playoffs? Any especially bad matchups for us?
Well, I think the Carolina second round, which I think is going to happen, could be difficult. But I think Carolina's got issues. Look, Gensel's been great. Kuznetsov at times has helped them. But I think they got issues in net. And Freddie Anderson's, you know, working his way back after the blood clot issues. I think they can beat Carolina. Conference final. Look, you know, who knows? The one thing I'll say is this. They're going to beat the Caps. That's as far as I'll go. That is a bet. I expect and hope that they take the care of the Caps easily.
Yeah, I would think so.
I think with Carolina each year, and sometimes they get farther than other years, but it seems like every team that kind of exposes that system they have where they throw 40 shots on net, and every team realizes, well, let's just let them shoot 40 shots on net as long as it's from the outside and just wait for them to make a mistake and counterattack, because they're so used to just throwing everything on net. But if you have an elite goalie in there, how many from the blue line that Shesterkin sees is he actually going to let up?
Well, also, but to counter that, excuse me, the Carolina defense scores more goals. Burns, and by the way, I don't know, guys, Brady Shea's been great there. Mm-hmm. Brady Shea scores and puts up a lot of points. So, yes, Jacob, they may put up a lot of shots from deep, but those defensemen on Carolina score a lot. Slavin, too.
Right. What does Shea have, 16 goals this year or something like that? It's crazy.
I think, yeah, double digits for sure. And he had the same number last year, if not a little bit more.
Yeah, no, it's
So, yeah, they may have a lot of shots from deep, but the guys that are taking the shots have a tendency to score.
Right, no, that's a good point. I wonder how many of those goals from the defenseman come on the transition or on the rush, or how many of them are actually when they're set already in the zone. Because if they are majority on the rush, Then yeah, you got to play it safe with that. And then I don't want to say turtle, but you got to keep it tight within the defensive zone and let them shoot from the outside. But again, no, that's a good point, that their defensemen are so good at scoring where sometimes it's just unavoidable. Who in the bottom six do you believe is a 16-game player?
Well, I don't think he's going to mess with the third line. The fourth line's up for grabs. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Rempe probably in and out. I think Goudreau will be there. I think BC, maybe the third member of that fourth line could be something that rotates. The question is, if Hedl plays on the top line, does Roslovic go down or does he get scratched? That's going to be.
He's not really a fourth line player.
Yeah. So, I mean, fourth line, the way this is drawn up right now is going to – don't you guys see VZ in there every night with Goudreau and then that third person, that line rotates?
Oh, I would never take out VZ. He's just so good defensively. And, I mean, I know he's had his ups and downs this year, but, man, though he's the type of player you want on your fourth line you're going for the cup.
Not taking Goudreau out.
No, you're not taking him. That's the only one that I would wonder is either Rempe or – Brodzinski, which one? But it seems like they're leaning to Rempe.
Yeah, but I don't know that Rempe's going to play every game. So we'll see.
Right. Like if if they play like Carolina, which is a fast team, maybe Brodzinski would fit that more. Whereas where you said with the Caps with Tom Wilson, that's where Rempe would maybe slot in.
Yeah, I think Rempe's there for the first round for sure to try to negate or combat Tom Wilson, potentially.
I personally still just feel that Rempe is more than just a physical threat, or that his physical threat exposes itself in the game a lot more than a lot of people think. Just with his forecheck, I see every time he's on the ice and he's bearing down on the forecheck, the defensemen look visibly scared and they get rid of the puck so much faster than they do when they have other forecheckers bearing down on them. And I think in the playoffs, forcing defensemen to not get good breakouts and to maybe make a mistake by coughing the puck up a little earlier than they would is such an asset that I think is a little bit undervalued in the league, that he's thought of as just being a big bruiser fighter, but his forecheck is actually really valuable. And I notice it every time he's on the ice.
Well, that'd be great.
All right. I just have one last question before we do our 150 with you. What has been your favorite Rangers playoff moment of the Stanley Cup era?
When they came back against the Penguins after the death of Marty St. Louis's mom, that was amazing. Yeah. That whole stretch there, down 3-1, come back. You know, when you look back at the 2014 Cup, three of the four losses were in overtime, and I think two of the three OT losses were double overtime. That's how devastating that was. I don't know if people remember how close that was, but that was just. That was rough.
Every time someone mentions to me that, what are you talking about? They only lasted five games versus LA. I'm like, technically speaking, it was like six or seven if you add up all the overtime.
Like, of the four losses, three were overtime, and of the three overtime, two were double overtime, I think, correct?
Yeah.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember a few times where there are a few like pictures of it where the Rangers were so close in that game five to scoring. And it's a game of inches. I mean, one or two bounces the other way, the Rangers could be up, and also another, you know, goalie interference call, but they could be up easily in that series. It was just unfortunate bounces at, you know, the worst times. And yeah, hopefully though this year there's better luck.
Yeah. Yep. I'm with you guys. I would, you know, the hockey playoffs are what they are because you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think we would all be absolutely shocked if the Rangers struggle here in round one.
That would be devastating, and I don't even want to consider it, and I don't think it's going to happen. And we're just – I think they steal – I think they might steal a game from us, but that's about it.
Yeah.
All right, before we do the Ranting Rangers 150 with you, do you want to just let the listeners know what the MSG's playoff coverage is going to be for this year?
Yeah, we are on pre- and post-game for every game the Rangers play in the playoffs. We have every game in the first round on MSG except for a potential game seven. There's a game seven in round one. We won't do it. We are locked to do games one through six. This is the first round. Pre and post game coverage for every game in every round. And we start on Sunday for an hour long pregame show at 2 o'clock.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Clear. But we got the games one through six in round one. We don't have the games after round one, but for every game the Rangers play, we have a pre and post game show, half hour pregame, hour post game for every game, except for the first game here where we do an hour pregame show.
Awesome. Can't wait for that coverage. All right. So to end it off here, as we've done the last couple times you've been on, is the Ranking Rangers 150, the fastest 150 seconds in podcasting. We're going to be about 10 seconds per question and answer here. Are you ready to go? I'm going to start the clock.
I am.
You have the clock? I was trying to get the clock here.
Yeah, I got the clock. Yeah.
The clock's a new addition?
Yeah. Well, I got the timer going so I can evaluate this. Hopefully we'll get it right on the nose.
Hopefully I don't have to think too hard about these or I'm going to go way over.
Yeah. It is a lot on you, to be honest. Yeah. We'll do our best. Let's tag team it. All right. And go. Who scores the first goal for the Rangers against the Caps?
Mika Zibanejad.
Nice. What is the final score in game one?
4-1.
4-1, damn, blowout. How many games do you think the Rangers take to beat the Caps?
5.
That's exactly what I think, too. If it's not the Rangers, who do you think wins the Cup?
Dallas.
Oh, you like Dallas, huh?
Yeah.
Brett likes that answer.
Yeah, I do. I like Dallas. Will Cooley score his first NHL playoff goal in the first round?
Yes.
Nice. Do you believe in the President's Trophy curse?
No.
What team that missed the playoffs this year will make it next year?
Flyers.
Ooh, you think Torts going to get it done, huh?
Yeah.
Does Toronto finally beat Boston?
No.
How many games do the Islanders take Carolina to win?
Five for Carolina.
Five for Carolina. Should the playoff system move to a 1-8 conference seeding system?
I would prefer that. When you look particularly at the West, I'm going to go over my time. Like Colorado shouldn't be there playing one.
No, I absolutely agree. I don't understand the system. I hope they change it. How many games do the Knicks take to win the first round?
6.
Ooh, all right. What's more impressive to you, scoring 69 goals in a season or getting 100 assists in a season?
I think I'd take the 69 goals.
Take the 69. So you're more of a Matthews over McDavid at this point. Okay. Who wins the Hart Trophy this year?
MacKinnon.
Oh, going Mac. That was Berkey's guy in his fantasy league. Does Rempe fight Tom Wilson this series?
Without question, yes.
That's going to be a lineup.
At least once.
All right. It's going to be it won't be a bench clearing brawl like the Devil's game, though.
No, we can't have that.
That'd be amazing, though. All right. And the final question of the Ranting Rangers 150. If the Rangers win the cup, who is the Conn Smythe winner?
Igor Shesterkin.
Ooh, Shesterkin. All right. With a mere 5 seconds to spare, we did it. Thank you.
There
we go.
I gotta say, before when we've done this, a lot of your answers, I was like, I don't agree with that. But this one, like, yeah, we were actually dead aligned on all of these.
It's very helpful that I didn't have to think a lot for the answers.
We tried to make sure that they were self-contained, easy ones, so we could get that timing just right.
Good. Awesome.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Bill. We really look forward to senior coverage. Love having you on here. Always. It's always a pleasure for us.
All right.
Thanks so much, Bill. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Let's do it again. Let me know. You know how to get a hold of me. So if you want to do it again during the playoffs, let me know.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be awesome.
All right, boys. Talk to you soon.
All right. See you.